And so we continue our focus on getting back to basics, looking at the importance of prayer in the early church. As we saw during times of conflict and trial, we looked a couple weeks ago at Acts chapter 4, how important it was that the church would turn to God in prayer. And at that point, if you remember, the prayer was so powerful that literally the building in which they were praying shook with the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, today we heard in our reading from Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable to his disciples, quote, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? And in our reading from Daniel 10, we heard that Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days, neither ate nor drank, fancy food before the angel was finally able to fight his way to Daniel to answer his prayer. And so our message today is about the awesome power that is released when we are persistent in our prayer. That power that is in us is released as we are persistent in our prayer. Again, looking at the example of Jesus himself, we're told in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued to God in prayer. All night. Remember the story of them out on the lake. He came at the fourth watch of the night because he had been praying all that time. So our Lord himself spent many, many hours in prayer to the Father. In Mark chapter 9, verse 29, remember when Jesus came down from the mountain of Transfiguration, and he meets this man who has a son, I think it was, with a demon. And the disciples tried to cast out the demon, and they were not able to. And they were able to do it before, but why this one? Why was this so stubborn? And Jesus said, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So there's a matter of degree there, of quantity, that prayer, prayer, and more prayer. And of course, Jesus is the Son of God. He just commanded it, and it went. But for the disciples, they were not spending enough time in prayer. And that's what it would have cost to cast out that demon. Several times, I was looking that Paul would talk about remembering people, quote, constantly in my prayers, night and day. So the Apostle Paul spent many, many hours in prayer for the church and for people. In Acts chapter 10, we're told that Peter went to Cornelius. Remember, Cornelius was a centurion. Why would Peter be sent to Cornelius? Well, we're told Cornelius prayed continually to God. Prayed continually to God. Last week, I shared quotes from John Wesley that God does nothing on the earth save an answer to believing prayer. And a quote by Dutch Sheets. Why am I supposed to ask him for something he already wants to do if it's not that my asking somehow releases him to do it? So the power is in us by the Holy Spirit in us. We release that power by our prayer. Well, this is interesting too, and this is in Dutch Sheets' book, and I also heard some other teachings about this. This idea, again, that the power is in us, and then the power is then applied in answer to our prayers. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, we're told that in heaven, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They were each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Golden bowls of incense. So in heaven, there are these bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the people. Well, then we're told in Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 to 5, there is another angel came and stood at the altar with the golden censer. A censer is something you put coals in and incense on and you swing it around. Growing up Catholic, we did that all the time. We swang. Boy, we just filled the place with smoke, which I would love to do here. And we tried it, and several people said, oh, I've got sinuses, you know, I just can't stand the smoke. But I would love to have incense. That's what a censer is. So a censer is, you know, you swing it and it makes the smoke go up. So this angel has this censer. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Well, then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar. So it's filled with the prayers of the saints. He goes and takes fire from the altar, adds that to the incense, which is the prayer of the saints. And then he throws it down to earth where there are peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of light, and an earthquake. So the angel takes the prayers of the saints in the bowls, adds incense or power from the altar, combines it, and then throws it down to earth where it makes things happen. The effect of that is tremendous. Now, Dutch Sheets asks an amazing question. What if there's no incense in the bowls? What if there's no incense in the bowls of the prayers of the saints? He imagines, which I think is kind of interesting, that you can imagine these bowls, and I've got a bowl here. Imagine these bowls, and it fills up with incense, the prayers of the saints. And finally, it's like one of those, you know, in the water park, they've got this bucket that fills up with water, and then it tips over. And he imagines that there's this bowl in heaven, and once it fills up with the prayers of the saints, it tips over. And then this angel goes and takes that, combines it with the incense from the altar, and then throws that down to earth, where there's earthquakes and rumblings, and amazing things happen because of that power that is released. I think that's very scriptural, because it's in Revelation here. I just find it fascinating. I think the idea that we pray and pray and pray, and at some point it gets to that bowl is full or full enough, and God says to the angel, okay, there's enough incense. Now you go take incense from my altar, add it to the prayers of the saints, and then you cast it down to heaven. I never thought of prayer that way. And yet I find it very, very amazing to think about that. So when the tipping point happens and we pray enough fervently, then the angel adds the prayer, the power of God, and things happen. The power is in us. We read that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, power, your power will come within you. But we need to know how to use that power. And so I've got four things I think we need to do that I offer. First is we need to repent of our sins. We need to come to God with repentance because we cannot have any unrepented sin in us. This doesn't mean we're perfect, but we cannot have any unrepented sin. And I point to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Isaiah says this, but your iniquities have made separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So if we have unrepented sin in our lives, we need to repent that and come before the Lord so that our prayers would be answered. A second thing we need to do is to be prepared. Being prepared has the idea that we need a rule of life that includes what is righteousness or right relationship with God. Not that God doesn't come to anybody who cries out to him and answers prayer, but generally speaking, God says, if you want your prayers answered, this is what you do. You repent because your sins create an obstacle. But also he said there's other things we do that can help our prayers to be effective. This is one out of Isaiah chapter 58, and he's talking about fasting. They say, we fast and you don't hear us. How come? He says, this is Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Now listen to this. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. How we live our lives in relationship to God and the fruit that we bear has an impact on the effectiveness of our prayers. So first is repent. Second is be prepared in a life of godliness. Doesn't mean perfect, doesn't mean we have to be saints, but it means we have to have a normal life in relationship with God. A third thing we need to be sure is that what we're praying is in accordance with God's will. And this is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. When Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. It means we're asking according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it has to be in accordance with God's will. And then finally, we need to persist, which is continually in our prayers until God answers, or we need to, God tells us to stop. Two things I would say about prayer certainly is to ask, Lord, please do this, please do that. We're told to present our requests to the Lord. But I believe one thing that's missing in many prayers of believers is proclamation prayer. Again, that power is in us, and I'm going to proclaim that power. I'm going to put forth that power. I'm going to proclaim. I proclaim healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I proclaim against corruption in the name of Jesus Christ. We apply that power. And I believe it's something that God then honors because that power is in us. So yes, we ask, Lord, please do this, please do that. But I think there's times we just proclaim that power. We pronounce it in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. And in fact, that power goes forth. So first to repent, second to prepare. It has to be God's will. And then we need to persist. Now I'd like to take this and try to make it relative to current day events. A lot of people are praying for the political climate of our country, the things that are happening in our country, particularly the results of this election. I would say, first of all, we need to all be repenting of things that we have done, we as a nation and also we as a church. We need to be a church and people of repentance. And second, I think we need to be prepared. And I believe there are many people who are praying who are truly prayer warriors of God. This thing I put out about Dutch Sheets, if you've been listening to his, give him 15 minutes every day, it's just amazing things that he's been talking about and other people who've just been coming before the Lord and praying and praying and praying. These are very godly people, like Elijah, who is a man of God, a man of righteousness, and had fervent prayers. So I believe people are calling us to repentance. If you remember the Jonathan Kahn, the return event we had in D.C., Washington, D.C., and we did a live stream here that was calling the nation to repentance. So I think large part that's been done. I believe there are many people, in fact, who are sincere and are praying day and night, that these elections would not necessarily go one way, but just that they would be honest, that they would be accurate, that they would be, there'd be integrity, in the process. And so I think those two things are happening. The third one, I'm not too sure about as far as God's will. It may be God's will that Trump would be reelected, Republicans would keep the Senate. We got very important elections, by the way, coming up here for the senators in Georgia. But I believe we also need to believe, I think, because the first two, we're repenting. We got many people who are pouring out their hearts day and night. Because of things that happen in this country, we've got still 50% of the people, that are going one way or the other. Sometime the Bible tells us there's going to come a time of judgment upon our nation, but also upon the world. I mean, it tells us that. We're going to hear that in our readings coming up about the end days. So some point, at some time, that judgment is going to come. Is now the time of judgment? I don't know. But I fully believe by faith in God that whatever way this voting finally ends up, it will be God's will. Because people are repenting, people are pouring out our hearts in prayer. But if it doesn't go the way we wished it would go, we still need, I believe, acknowledge that and say, okay, God's doing something here. We don't understand it. Maybe we don't even like it. But God is doing something here when you need to continue to keep our trust in him. In the midst of that, however, we do need to persist in our own prayers, along with people like Dutch Sheets and others who are just lifting up this whole thing in prayer, to be praying day and night. Or, I don't know, too many of us can able to pray day and night. It's like, boy, that's asking a lot. I do believe what it means is, not praying in terms of minutes. I pray a few minutes, in the morning when I wake up. I don't think that's enough. I just think God is calling us as a church, to something more than that. 15 minutes a day, maybe 30 minutes. I don't know what you're used to, but But whatever it is, we need to, I think, ramp up this time, this again, this preparing for the way of the Lord, to filling our own lives, but also filling the airways, filling these bowls of incense with the prayers of the saints, so that when it comes to the tipping point, in fact, God will open up his power from his altar and add them to the bowl. Just one other thing, I think symbolism is very important. So we have this bowl, and I took the bowl, and I've got all of your names on pieces of paper here in the bowl. Bob and Lorena Kappelman. I've got Paul Leek. I've got Diane Hamilton. I've got Keith Wooded. All your names are in the bowl, and I'm going to set them up here on the altar. And again, I'd love to have a bunch of incense. Those prayers will be lifted up to heaven, and that God will then take the incense from the altar, add it to the prayers of the saints, and pour it down upon you and upon your family. So I know symbolism for some people is like, you know, that just doesn't do anything for me. Okay, just please let it go. But for others, I pray that this symbolically would be meaningful, that your name is being lifted up to the heavenly bowls, that God may add his incense and pour out his favor upon us. My brothers and sisters, these are challenging times. If anything, we need to remember back the words of Jesus. Remember the parable he told specifically, so that the people of God ought to always pray and not lose heart. Let us not lose heart as we continue to put our trust in God and in the power of prayer that he's put in us by his Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is upon us and within us. The power is in us. We need to release it. And if we do, truly the best is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. And gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this power that you've given to us, men of the earth. And what is man that you are mindful of us, Lord, and the Son of Man, that you care so much for us and give us such power that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what is bound in heaven is bound on earth. So Lord, help us to be persistent in our prayer. Help us to be righteous in right relationship with you, that the ways of this world, Lord, would go according to your will, your purpose, and your plan. So give us that faith, Lord, to put our trust in you, no matter what happens, that all would be in accordance with your will. We pray this in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.